Greetings, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. Pope Benedict has again managed to anger certain parts of our society, at least in the Western world. And this time he incurred the wrath of certain portions of the gay community. Let me read to you from this article, which was published in the International Herald Tribune on December 22. Pope Benedict said Monday that saving humanity from homosexual or transsexual behavior was just as important as saving the rainforest from destruction. The Catholic Church teaches, the article goes on to say, that homosexual acts are sinful. It opposes gay marriage. The Pope said humanity needed to listen to the language of creation to understand the intended roles of man and woman. He compared behavior beyond traditional heterosexual relations as a, quote, destruction of God's work. So far this article. Now the reaction of the gay community, at least certain portions of it, was swift and predictable. I'd like to read to you from an article which was published by Der Spiegel online on December 24. In Germany, Volker Beck, a gay man with the Green Party, describes the Pope's statements as agitating words. And Uta Ranke-Heinemann, a prominent German critic of the Pope, described Benedict's words as a threatening message to homosexuals. She said his views could not be left unchallenged, adding that the history of homosexuals in Christianity has been a, quote, bitter one, close quote. The article goes on to explain that Ranke-Heinemann was the world's first woman to be given a professorship as a Catholic theologian. And then the article goes on to say that Sharon Ferguson of Britain's lesbian and gay Christian movement described his statements as totally irresponsible. The head of the Inclusive Church in England accused the Pope of spreading fear that gay people somehow threaten the planet. And she said that that was absurd. Now, my friends, we need to look at this from a biblical perspective. And I realize that some who claim to be Christians and still engage in the conduct of homosexuality state that the Bible nowhere indicates that such conduct would be wrong. And they dismiss the Old Testament, which clearly has scriptures to the effect. And then they try to reinterpret some of the New Testament passages. And we will go into this in a moment, but let me first of all caution all of us. Because I have over the years listened to TV evangelists and other ministers giving fire and brimstone sermons condemning homosexuality as tantamount to the unpardonable sin which cannot receive any forgiveness, the worst sin there could possibly be. And in far too many cases, those very same ministers had a problem with homosexual conduct themselves. Now notice how the Apostle Paul cautions all of us in this regard. In the book of Romans, in the second chapter, he says, "You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man shouldn't steal, do you steal? You who say do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you," the Apostle Paul says. Now he also gives us a list of quite a number of character traits we must either have or we must give up if we want to inherit the kingdom of God. And homosexual conduct is clearly one of those character traits, but my friends, it's not the only one. It's quite a long list. Let me read to you from 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. And I'd like to read to you from the Living Bible. It says, "Do you not know that those doing such things have no share in the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who live immoral lives, who are idol worshippers, adulterers, or homosexuals, will have no share in his kingdom. Neither will thieves or greedy people, drunkards, slanderers, or robbers. There was a time when some of you were just like that. But now your sins are washed away, and you are set apart for God, and he has accepted you because of what the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God have done for you. You see, Paul looks at all these character traits as sinful. And he says that some of you were that way, were engaged in one way or another in this kind of lifestyle. But he said that Jesus Christ, through the sacrifice he has given, has brought about forgiveness of your sins. He has washed them away. How? Because we have accepted our old nature as a carnal nature, which has to be changed. And we have repented of our sins. And as a consequence, they were forgiven. And then we were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Remember when in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit was given to the apostles, and then the people heard the message of Peter, and they were very upset about themselves, and they said, "What must we do?" And Peter said, "Repent, all of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And in another place, he says that the Holy Spirit is only given to those who obey him, who already have shown through their way of life that they are willing to obey God. And that means they have already started to put their own life in line with the way of God. And it doesn't help us if we just ignore or overlook or reinterpret scriptures which tell us how to live, and we don't like to hear that because we don't want to live that way. And the gay community, who is telling their members that it's totally natural to live that way because God has made us such, don't give themselves any service, and not their own members either. Because with that same rationale, you might as well say, well, God made me to be an adulterer. God made me to be an alcoholic. God made me to be a thief or a liar, and so I can continue living that way. No. We have to change. We have to become a new creation, a new creature. You see, when we are baptized, when we are put totally under water, this signifies our burial. It signifies the fact that we are giving up our own old way of life. And when we come out of that watery grave, we are going to be raised, it says, to a new way of life, to a new creation. And all the things I have mentioned today, and many, many more, as they are all clearly described in God's Word, the Bible, need to be taken into consideration. The good news, my friends, is that Paul said that some of the early Christians in Corinth were homosexuals, practicing homosexuals, but they were able to change. You see, Christ came to call sinners for repentance. He told the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, "Sin no more." It is possible to change. It is possible to live a new way of life, but it can only be done really through the help of God and through the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit. And you should know, my friends, how to come to that condition. Some of you may think you're already born again, and as such you cannot sin, because that is what it says in the Bible, the one who is born again cannot sin, and therefore you can live your life the way you do because you cannot sin. It cannot possibly be sinful. That is a terrible misconception. We have prepared a booklet. It is titled, "Are You Already Born Again?" Just ask us for our free booklet on Born Again, because it will explain to you that you are not born again yet. But you are hopefully on the way towards becoming born again, to becoming a new creation which is pleasing in the eyes of God. Thanks very much for watching today. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.